This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, N.M. Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time for Babysitter's Club.
Well, 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 it's my
divine spark looking Jack out, Shepherd.
And what does he see?
And
what do they recognize? This isn't going to work if we both.
And what are you doing? You're challenging me?
So you
you're coming at me at the top of the episode. You're coming at me and you're challenging me?
Yeah, because I was trying to say something.
You know I'm not in any kind of mood to be challenged tonight, Jack.
Yeah, you told me you had a few cocktails in the park.
I went out for the first time in four months. I said to you that I went out for the first time in 4 months this evening. Yeah. We're recording on an unprecedented Sunday evening because I'm moving soon.
Yeah.
And I told you, Jack, I'm saying goodbye to my New York friends.
Yeah,
I went out for the first time in 4 months out of my house and had a responsible, socially distanced evening in the park with my friends. And some of the friends are even your friends from when you lived in New York.
Yep.
And I said, I've been drinking a little bit.
Yeah.
I've been having a good time.
Yeah.
And I might be a little belligerent.
Yeah.
And I owned up to it.
You owned up to it. Yep.
And I gave you every opportunity to take that in.
Yeah, I'm prepared.
Process it. Yeah. Prepare for it. Change your demeanor to match mine.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then what you did was you started the episode by challenging me.
Yeah. And so what we've both learned, it looks like, is that this is my fault.
Yes.
Yes. And we have learned that.
Yes.
Can I ask you, let's reset.
Yes, please.
Let's reset.
And really think about how you're going to
really
come at
think
me.
About Tanner. Would it be okay with you if I told you that the divine spark in me recognizes the divine spark in you?
I would love that, Jack.
Okay.
Thank you for saying that.
The divine spark in me is peeking out. It's been sleeping all day, and it's peeking out from under the covers. It's pulling the covers down, and it's looking, and oh,
see,
there's
light.
Someone
Ooh.
Else.
What's
Ooh.
That?
What's that? Ooh, peekaboo. And,
I see its light. What is that?
Oh, I'm not alone. There's another divine spark, and it's your divine
it's
spark.
It's my divine
and
spark.
I recognize it. And what is your divine spark?
Mine's kind of
say?
Peeking. Mine's peeking around the door frame.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
And it's we recognize
and
each other.
And their lights are commingling.
Yes.
It's kind of a redundant phrase, huh? Mingling.
I like commingling. It's evocative.
And their lights, their two lights are becoming one light. And here we are in basking in the light of our divine sparks together this evening, Jack. It's a Sunday evening.
Yes.
We're preparing for the great reckoning.
For the great reckoning.
Where I depart.
Oh, right. For Stony
Brook. From Middle Earth, and I go to the Grey Havens.
Yeah, you've got you've got a little coracle.
To retire in peace.
You've been told that you've carried your burden too long, and you're going to row out into the ocean, to the Summerlands.
In the most heavenly place I can think of.
Yeah,
Stony Brook, Connecticut, or approximate as I can get to.
Yes,
Stony Brook, Connecticut.
That sounds good. You and I have had very different days. You've been out cavorting.
Yeah,
getting very drunk. It sounds like and looks like
not,
with
not very. I had maybe like two rosés.
Cavorting, and what I did was I made some pineapple tofu and watched a Muppets movie with Cyril and Sarah. We're trying a thing where we have dinner and a movie night. Cyril calls it dinner night, which I really like.
What does he have every other
night? He's like, I'm really looking forward to dinner night.
You want to make sure he doesn't say that in public.
Yeah. Yeah, I could get in a lot of trouble. But he had never experienced Muppets in any real form before, and he was like, who's that?
He's not a Sesame Street man?
He's not a Sesame Street man. He watches ocean documentaries.
Miles
is
a Sesame Street man now.
Okay.
And he's formed some pretty strong opinions about Sesame Street.
Yeah.
And I try to guide him towards the good Sesame Street characters,
yeah.
a.k.a. the characters that I grew up with.
Like Animal.
Yeah. But he really likes the ones that all the children like Elmo.
Yeah. Lame.
Did you call him Melmo?
I didn't say Melmo, I don't think, but we can run back the tape. Zero has no context for Muppets, so it's interesting to see him experience it for the first time. He doesn't like the bad ones. So he, like, when Animal came on, he was like, I don't like this guy. I don't like any of these people. I don't want to have anything to do with this. Put the frog back on.
Yeah, the frog is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sesame Street and Muppets are the same, but different.
But different.
The,
people
Sesame
do know
Street
that.
Is
people
like the
that.
Babysitter's Club.
Yeah.
And Muppets is like Sweet Valley High.
Okay, yeah. People don't need a metaphor, honestly, because I think
people know
really
it.
Knows it. Yeah.
But I'm just saying Miles hasn't been introduced to Animal. He hasn't been introduced to Kermit the Frog.
Okay, yeah.
He just knows Elmo. He knows Big Bird. He knows Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah.
He knows Bert and Ernie. He points at Ernie sometimes. Like, we've got like the TV and the books. He'll point at Ernie and then point at Papa. And then he'll point at Bert and he'll point at like a picture of Uncle Jack.
I was going to say, thinking of exactly that, often, anytime I'll put a podcast on in the car, which is anytime I'm driving the car,
yeah,
Cyril will say, that's Tanner.
Yeah. Is
but
it
it's often
me?
Not. No, it's usually not. I don't listen to my own podcast in the car, in fact. it's usually like some like talking
John Favreau.
Political pundit. Yeah. This has been Dad Talk.
Dad Talk. Yeah. And that's how we started this episode.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Jack. Welcome to the show, Shay. Welcome to the show, Mona.
Yep, they're not here yet. We are going to be having... haven't recorded the interview
quite
yet.
Get my head around this.
Yeah, no, they're not here.
Because I thought this time, for once, we hadn't pre-recorded the interview, so I thought maybe...
You felt confident that they were like...
Like, finally came in, and I was like, okay, we haven't done this interview yet. I know that it's coming up.
They're scheduled to speak with us before this episode comes out. So if all goes well, you will be hearing from them, Stacy and Claudia.
That's going to be fun.
And if not, you know what? We'll record us doing what we think they would have said.
Yeah.
And so you'll find out. What I would love to say is hi.
Hi.
And welcome to the Babysitter's Club. Yep, and you said it. And it's a podcast in which I, Jack Shepherd,
and I'm Tanner Greenring,
discuss the classic novels of The Princess of the Prince of Towns, St. Annabelle Matthews Martin. She is Stormborn, Soul Skinner, Mother of Clocks and Bane to Bats, First of Her Name, Last of Her Kind. Of course, you all know this, Last Hope for Humankind. But specifically, what we were talking about is the video novels by The Hand of God and Lucia and some other folks. And
Rachel.
Anne is lurking in the background.
Anne is always present.
Yes.
To be a writer on the Babysitter's Club Netflix show is to be basking in the glory of Anne.
Yes.
And if you ever cross Anne, you will be cast out of her loving gaze into the dark place.
Yes.
And it is hell unto itself to be separated from her grace.
Yes. Just that. Yes. Just the fact of being separated from her is all the punishment that anyone could imagine or need.
Yep.
And I think we're on thin ice, I've got to say.
I don't want to speak out of turn.
Yeah.
But we had an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
An opportunity presented itself. And it very quickly dried up.
Yeah.
That opportunity.
Faster than I could have ever imagined.
And I feel like that is a punishment we've received for
that's a
our
punishment.
Indiscretions.
Yes. And
the last 5 years.
So sorry.
Yes.
But what we're talking about this week, more interestingly, is a video novel, a video text, if you will, that is called the Netflix show, and it's number 7.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Boy Crazy Stacy.
Yeah, Shay Mamona, what was it like to be on set? And Mamona, I know you weren't like a huge part of this episode because it largely takes place in Sea City, New Jersey, but what was it like to be on set in Montreal and just kind of like have to inhabit these characters? Can you just speak on that a little bit?
I'd love to remind you that they're not here and won't be here until we interview them later in the show. And so your questions are falling on deaf ears. Okay. So let's try to focus on what we can do, just the two of us here. Our divine sparks are intermingled. What we would particularly like, I think, is probably to describe this video novel, and you'll be delighted to hear that it's my turn.
Thank God.
To say what happened.
Yeah.
Would you like to put 60 seconds on a big bad clock?
Yeah.
Yep.
Let me pull one up.
During those 60 seconds, I will describe every single thing that happens in this video novel. It was a good one. I liked it. It was fun. It was fun in the sun. It was in Sea City.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
In 5, 4, 3, 1.
Stacy and Marianne have an opportunity to go as au pairs for the Pikes. To
Mommy's
the Pike
helpers.
Family. You're not allowed to talk. They're going to go as au pairs for the Pikes to Sea City, New Jersey, a beach town where they will be looking after the many, many Pike kids. Everything is going well until Stacy meets a very, very, very handsome lifeguard, 17-year-old lifeguard called Scott, and falls in love with him and becomes obsessed with basically getting him sodas and candy, and he allows it even though he shouldn't because they're not right for each other. And Marianne has to do all the work. Meanwhile, Marianne meets two handsome boys called Toby and Alex, and they are actually nice. At home, there is a B-plot whereby Mr. Spear and Dawn's mom are maybe getting back together. Sure. That's pretty interesting. Over in Sea City, Scott shows that he's a cad and is just using Stacy, and Stacy figures it out when Scott makes out with his girlfriend in front of her, and it's really sad, and Stacy and Marianne make up, and that's the whole plot of the book.
You don't have time.
And that's everything.
B, A minus.
A minus, thank you. Yeah, I kind of started to fumble towards the end a little bit, but I got most of it out.
A minus. There wasn't really B plot. It's mostly focused on the plot in Sea City.
Yes.
The Mommy's Helper stuff. Au pair, as you say, Mr. Frenchie.
Okay. It's a pretty common
term.
I mean,
it took place in, I assume the episode, like all the episodes, was shot in Montreal. Also, it's actually somewhat appropriate. Yeah,
the beautiful beaches of Montreal.
They had to like write in a plot device, which is like, it's a cold time of year here on the beach.
Yeah, they're all wearing like sweaters and shit. Yeah.
At some point, Stacy's like, it's not even a good time to be at the beach. It's so cold.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I get it. You're shooting in Montreal in like October. Yeah, they had to write around the fact that it is Montreal and it is the beach.
Yeah, it is the beach of Montreal. And speaking of the beach, what I would love to do now is talk about some of the boys of the beach, the beach boys, if you will, specifically a particularly odious character called Scott the Lifeguard.
Okay.
Because he... at the 8-minute and 6-second mark, he drops his whistle.
Okay.
And then Stacy picks it up. And yeah. Scott says,
keep it. My gift to you, cutie.
Cutie, yeah.
And it's yucky.
It is yucky. It yeah. is yucky. Yes. I captured in my notes that I had a hashtag swoon at 6:50 because you see the slow motion shot of Scott the lifeguard running
right.
up, and you're like, whoa.
Whoa. Yeah. Look
this
at
hunky
those
boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then literally. At the 8-minute, 7-second mark, he calls Stacy.
He makes himself genuinely distasteful.
A cutie, it's like a minute later. Yeah, and he's an unpleasant person to be around and think about. You know?
Yeah. Not nice. But a nice-looking man, but the evil inside him.
Yes.
It's so rotten. Or you know what, actually, I'm realizing? It could be the actor is acting that.
Okay. That makes sense.
What else does he do, Scott?
He gives Stacy the whistle. He ignores her every chance he can get. He calls her cutie many times. It's kind of her pet name for her.
Right.
When Stacy brings him a box of chocolates, he and his catty girlfriend sort of like
she's great.
Make light of it. And she's like,
another little girl from the beach that's in love with you.
Yeah.
But then Toby sweeps in and he's like, I'm here to save the day.
With his brown eyes.
Okay.
And he's got a real nerdiness to him.
Toby and Alex both have a nerdiness to them, which is I like Toby and Alex a lot. They
even though we know what they're gonna become.
Well, I'm wondering if maybe Lucia and Rachel and Dan and Alicia.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what they have planned for Toby and Alex, because they've already made one decision, which I'm fine with, which is that Alex is a young gay man.
Right.
So Alex talks about having a crush on a boy at theater camp. So we already know that Alex...
And so Marianne never gets her kiss in the tunnel of love.
Yes, Alex and Marianne are not going to do a kiss. Right. Or if they do a kiss, it's going to be platonic.
Right.
But Toby and Stacy do a kiss.
Yes.
At the end of the episode. But this Toby is again, not the Toby we know.
It's not the Toby we know. But he's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And he does a thing that I think is a reference to some of the stuff that's come up in the portrait collection, where at the 20-minute and 40-second mark, he quite sweetly hands a gift to Stacy that is a book. And in the book, he has written...
To Stacy, the very special mollusk.
Yeah.
And then he says...
It's true. The special part, not the mollusk part.
Because we know that Stacy is, in fact, a lobster.
She's a lobster,
according to the portrait in the portrait collection.
And
stuff.
Again, we can't constantly compare.
Yeah,
the
we
Netflix
can't compare.
Series. To
so they
the
made
books.
A different choice. Yeah,
but in the books, Stacy is a lobster. Yes, and not a mollusk. But is maybe a lobster a mollusk?
Do we have any clam scientists who listen
clam
to the show? Because if we have any clam scientists, and now is it a clam? Are they all the same?
I think the key part is shells, and I know all of them have shells.
Yeah. Here's what I'll say to the clam scientists.
So do pangolins. So are pangolins clams?
I don't know. But I was going to ask the clam scientist something, if I may.
Okay. We both get one question for the clam scientist.
Okay.
My question is, are pangolins clams?
Okay, my question for the clam scientist is, why are you spending so much time making these fine classifications between different kinds of guys who are guys who have shells on them? Yeah. Like, can we just have one word for it? It's exhausting.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
I think mollusk is the word
and for it. And mollusk is it.
I sort of believe...
Mm-hmm.
I hate to do this so early in the episode, but I think we need to induct the ghostwriters. The two new ghostwriters into the canon.
There's a new entity.
There's a new entity. And they are truly an entity because I looked them both up. Welcome to the canon. Welcome to the Pantheon. Dan, mm-hmm. Robert, and Leisha Brooks.
Yes.
The newest ghostwriters to the Babysitter's Club.
And it seems like they're kind of they haven't actually merged their flesh into one entity yet.
I think they actually have. Because I looked them up, and Leisha Brooks is a writer on a show called I Love Leisha.
Okay.
And Dan Roberts is a writer on a show called I Love Leisha. So I feel like Leisha Brooks part of Leisha Brooks and Dan Robert has sort of gobbled up the Dan Robert part.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yes.
So
it's more like Leisha than Dan.
Yes. What's his name? Quato?
Quato in Total Recall.
Yes. Leisha is Quato and Dan is the big guy who Quato rides on.
Quato is a lot like Krang, isn't he? It's something to think
about.
Which
came first? So I think the reason I wanted to introduce Leisha and Dan is because I think what they are asking us to call them is the very special mollusk.
Right. They want us to call them the very special
mollusk.
And in
a way,
Leisha,
as the Quato, has a shell. She's wearing this Dan shell around her.
Right.
So
and
named
that is
she
a very special
mollusk. And again, the clan scientists are going to have to weigh in on this.
Yeah.
Does that count?
Yeah.
Does it count when one tiny human growing out of the stomach of another human, who's actually the, like...
Is the carapace.
Yeah.
We've got to get a clam
scientist
on the show.
Bigger human become a carapace, yeah. So challenging.
Oh, speaking
about.
Of shells, actually.
Okay.
Speaking of heroes on the half shell, to coin a phrase, Dan and Leisha made a pretty interesting choice in this video novel. If you've watched the show, the B plot, which is it's pretty diminished compared to the C City plot, but it's worth spending some time on because it's so interesting. It is related to Sharon and Richard are broken up because Richard.
Say that's a deep, deep, deep C plot.
Okay, thanks for the classification.
The B plot is definitely Christy taking care of.
Oh yeah, okay.
Karen Andrew.
The deep. So the deep C plot is Richard and Sharon.
Yeah,
and they are maybe getting back together, even though things had gone badly. And at the 18-minute and 54-second mark, Richard shows up at Sharon's house inside a small aquarium with a note taped to his back that says,
"Sorry, I went back into my shell."
Yeah,
and it's very—it's an interesting choice.
It's an interesting choice. There's a few things that I imagine could be at play here. The first is the one you're alluding to, which is obviously he's been exposed to.
He's become a turtle. Oh, right.
Mutagenic ooze. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he has transformed from a middle-aged man into a middle-aged mutant
turtle.
Ninja turtle.
Right.
The second possibility is that he's a druid.
Okay.
And this is his wild form.
Okay. Can you pick a turtle as a wild form for a druid?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't see why not.
Yeah. It just seemed like it would be a bad choice, probably.
Yeah. I also think this is possibly a tortoise, because the cage it's delivered in, or it's not delivered because it's Richard, right?
He's delivered himself. He shows up, he's got a note taped to his back, and it says, I went back into my shell.
It's a non-aquarium cage it's in, so yeah. It might be a tortoise.
They're all the same to me, but yeah.
Yeah. It's difficult to think about, and maybe, I don't know if the clam... Well, we have an animal in a shell.
Yeah.
And I think this definitely falls into the domain of clam,
yeah.
Most likely. So maybe the clam scientist can kind of weigh in on this.
I really wish we had one.
Yeah.
I really wish we had one. And it's okay that we're dwelling on this as much as we have, because it is an ocean book, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
In the tradition of Moby
Video
Dick.
Book.
And what's another ocean book?
Old Man in the Sea.
Old Man in the Sea. What's another ocean book?
Perfect Storm.
Perfect Storm. And, of course, Boy Crazy Stacy.
Yes.
The great ocean books and video books.
And video books, yeah. Most of those things have been turned into video books already.
Yeah. I think it might be the time in our show where we take a quick break.
Okay.
And then I want to talk to you about time.
Okay.
Is that all right?
The band from the 80s? Associated with Prince?
No, the metaphysical
Huey Lewis
concept that is certainly, according to Kant, just a construct that we use to try, see the world, and isn't something that exists in reality. Oh, Tanner's already paused. Told me that he's already paused. So goodbye to you guys. And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp, except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, and a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just gonna have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Tanner, I will say this as quickly as I can so we can dive more into the plot details of this excellent video novel. But in many ways, this video novel is a meditation on time and temporality.
Okay.
As I'm sure you noticed.
Yes.
Yeah. There are.
I came to the same conclusion.
Okay, good.
And I have a lot of things to say about it, but you go ahead and say what you have to say first.
Okay.
And I'll. Just tell kind of you bounce off of everything. That. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's perfect. I'm glad we're doing it that way.
Yeah.
At the 7-minute mark, you've alluded to this already. The handsome lifeguard Scott is running in slow motion.
Yes.
And then Marianne, as Stacey's kind of,
I had that captured too.
Yeah, Marianne
it's
is
important to my kind of my thesis.
As Stacey is staring at him, Marianne says,
"We're on the clock."
And Stacy says,
"We locked eyes and time stopped."
Yes.
So that's kind of the first moment that we know that this signal is being created, where the entity currently known as Leisha and Dan signal to us that time is on the horizon.
Yeah.
At the 12:41 mark, Toby says something very interesting.
Yes.
And it's one of the first things that he says to Marianne and Stacy. He says,
"Did you hear about the hungry clock?"
"No.
It went back for seconds."
It went back for seconds.
Yes.
So that's interesting. So time, in a way, is gobbling us up, right? And it's going backwards. It's looping on itself.
Oh, yes.
It's
and actually,
hungry.
Jack, what you just said is my... Hey,
and you have to say it quietly, because last time you woke up your baby.
Yeah, man, woke up the boy.
Yeah.
After Toby tells that banger of a joke.
Well, I didn't read it as a joke.
Everyone laughed.
Yeah.
Except Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex, Toby's cousin, says to Stacy,
"Get it, Stacy? Time is measured in seconds."
Right.
And the burden's on Stacy, because she doesn't get it.
Yes.
She doesn't get that time is measured in seconds, because... she has been in the...
enthrall.
She's been... yes. The second she saw Scott, time stood still for her.
But that's the point, right? She's experiencing... it's not... I'll allow it as a burn. But she's experiencing time in a different way. We all experience temporality differently, right? And that's what I think Toby is drawing Stacy's attention to, in a way. Where he's saying time is measured in seconds, but for her... an eternity has passed.
He's trying to bring her back. He's trying to be like a totem.
Right.
And he's just like, "Come back to us, Stacy."
Yeah.
"Come back to the real world. Come back kick up to the top level again.
Yeah.
And, like, time is measured in seconds here, Stacey. And she's just not getting it.
Right. And we should be worried about a hungry... I would be worried about a hungry clock.
I've interacted with a number of menacing clocks in my time.
Yeah.
Over the years. So I've stopped sort of being threatened by timepieces, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess someone who hasn't been harassed by clocks like I have maybe would be to sort of see that as a threat, but yeah.
The one thing that I would like to say that may potentially be related to this or not is at the 14 minute and 50 second mark, we see a sign for Sea City. And what it says on it is, "Welcome to Sea City, America's sweet escape by the sea."
Well, whose emphasis?
Their emphasis. Sweet escape is all caps and as a C. And what is depicted on the sign is a giant pink ovular portal rising out of the ocean, suspended on the foam-flecked waves. It's like a big O.
It's like birthing? Is it like a birthing metaphor?
It could be a birthing metaphor. I guess I had thought maybe given the context of the focus on temporality in this video novel that it was a time portal, but I kind of like it as a birthing metaphor. That's something that they love to do in these books.
Yeah. In the video books especially.
Yeah. Something is being birthed. Something is coming into being.
Yeah.
Right? Something new is coming into the world. We should be afraid. And maybe it's the hungry clock.
Could be the hungry clock. It's really hard to say for sure. Can we talk about the B plot just a little bit?
Yeah, we can. I'd love to say my burn.
Oh, yes, we're still embedded in the burn.
Yeah.
Is it related to the B plot or the A plot?
It's related to the A plot.
Okay.
It's very short. It's at the 7 minute and 13 second mark. It's right after Stacy sees the handsome boy. She turns to Marianne and she says,
"How do I look?"
And then Marianne says,
"You look and sound insane."
Yes, there is some confusion between Marianne and Stacy this week because Stacy assumes that she is a suitable... What's the opposite of beau? Filly?
No.
That's like horses.
One is French, the other is horses.
Yeah.
So the opposite of beau is belle, I think.
Belle. She
and the opposite of filly
she's...
is foal. So we can choose one. Let's just choose one set.
She assumes
one
that
set.
She's a suitable foal for...
Yeah. Okay.
Scott.
Yeah.
And she says to... I literally got so caught up in the language stuff in that little bit there that I've forgot my point, but...
We're talking about horses.
Yes, it's about horses.
Yeah.
Something is confirmed, something that we discussed last week.
Yeah.
It's a new segment on the show,
mm-hmm.
which is called... Is this canon?
Right. Yeah.
Last week, Stacy said that she was married to Marianne's rug.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah, and then they kind of updated
the rug was her husband. Mm-hmm. And this week, at the 6 minute 50 second mark, Stacy says,
"Marianne, I just saw my husband."
Right.
And Marianne says,
"I thought my rug was your husband."
Right, and she doesn't acknowledge it, really.
So, but what she does do is confirm something that I think now we can consider hard canon.
Right.
Which is that Stacy is married to the rug.
Right.
And she's unhappy in her relationship with the rug, and now she's casting her gaze outward to Scott the lifeguard.
That's why this is it's a morality play, right? It's why we're supposed to be, because Scott seems like a perfectly suitable match for her, but the fact that she's interested in him is something that, as viewers... we question because we are concerned about her prior commitment.
Yes.
And it's a morality play. I'll say it again. I will say it again. I'm going to say it again. It's a morality play.
She should be thinking about her husband, Rug.
Yeah, Rug. I would like to ask you another question. Oh, did you wanted to talk about the B plot, didn't you?
I want to talk about a little bit about the B plot, because the B plot of this video novel is that Christy is moving into Watson's house, and Watson introduces her to her new room, which is big. is what she says.
Mm-hmm.
And she's uncomfortable with that. And then Watson uses that to kind of grease the skids on her looking after Karen and Andrew,
mm-hmm.
while Watson and Batgirl are attending to some wedding planning stuff.
Right.
While Christy
mm-hmm.
is watching after Karen and Andrew,
yeah,
she decides to occupy them
right.
with a chore, which is to wash Watson's little tiny old car.
So she's Watson Watson as well. As we like to watch Watson Watson.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And while they're washing Watson.
She's, okay, so hang on.
Yes.
We just got to get this right. Because what you and I like to do is...
We're Watson Watson?
Is a segment that we call... Watson Watson. Which yeah. makes tons of sense.
It's a good segment.
It's yeah. a great way strong of title. Saying it, and it's a strong title.
Yeah.
And, but what Karen's doing in an homage to that, and what Christy is doing,
yeah,
is washing
Watson. Watson. Yes.
And is that...
And sorry, I assume that's what you said the first time. Yeah. Well, they're washing Watson.
We're watching Watson. And they're washing
We're
Watson.
Watching Watson washing... We're watching Watson's car getting washing.
We're washing Watson.
Yes.
We're Watson washing Watson, and I don't want to have to say it again.
So Watson's got a tiny little car.
Yeah.
It's old,
and
it's
tiny.
One of 100, and it's yeah. tiny.
Yeah, and it doesn't work that good.
And Christy decides to wash it with Karen and Andrew, washing mm-hmm. Watson.
Yeah.
And Karen says to Christy, Christy says to Karen, hey, do you have sponges?
Yeah.
And Karen says to Christy, yes.
In the garage. Just make sure you don't go into the little room with the blue door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's where my dad keeps all of his secrets.
And I have a lot of questions.
Right.
The first question is this Watson's playroom?
Right.
So it's a small room off the side of the house that locks from the inside. So if you happen to get coaxed into this room...
Yeah, why do you need a room that locks from the inside?
It's easy to get in. It's impossible to get out.
Yeah, it's like a mousetrap.
And it is kind of a room where you would maybe sort of keep your dark secrets and do yeah. your dark business.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing.
Because if anyone discovers it, they can never get out.
And there's only one entrance.
Right.
It's completely sealed off from the rest of the home.
Yeah.
So, yes, this is already troubling.
Yeah.
But... And, you know, maybe this is where he keeps his Xbox and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. We can't say.
But what's troubling is later on... So Karen and Andrew go get steel wool. They try to use steel wool to wash Watson's car. It creates a bunch of scratches.
Right.
Christy and Karen hide the car in the garage. Watson eventually finds the car, calls Christy.
Yeah.
Who's been dodging his calls. He has to block his number in order mm-hmm. to call Christy.
From behind his resolute desk.
Yes, from behind his mighty desk.
Yeah.
He calls Chris. That's where it gives him his power.
Yeah. He looks great. Does he have anyone else in his office? I don't think so.
No,
it's just him in like a big room. There's no other office workers. He just goes to a big room with a big desk and sits there,
yeah.
which is so important, and I wish that was me.
He calls Christy and he confronts her on this, and she says, sorry, Karen said you had a secret room. I was overwhelmed with curiosity. I had to go check it out.
Yeah.
And Watson says to her,
I don't have any hidden secrets,
yeah.
okay? I'm a normal person.
Okay.
But we know that's not true because an entire floor of his house
yeah.
is reserved...
For a ghost.
For the ghost of his dead grandfather.
Ben Brewer.
Benjamin yeah. Brewer.
Oh, I have no secrets. What about the entire just floor of your house that's reserved for an old ghost?
I have no secrets. Well, just don't go to the third floor of the house. Because that's where my dead grandfather lives. And you're not allowed up there. Go to the little blue room all you want. I don't
yeah.
care.
Yeah, it Coax locks
anyone you want into
it
there.
It locks from the inside, so you won't be able to get out. But no, I have no secret.
Do not go to the third floor.
I just sit in this empty office by myself all day, doing nothing behind a very important desk.
So loaded with secrets. And I get where Karen got this mythos, where she built this mythos.
You know what it is? maybe what he's saying is not that he has no secrets, but that if anyone is ever in a position to discover his secrets, they're already like locked in his fucking. Okay.
They're part of the, like, by being aware of the Illuminati.
Yeah.
You were part of the Illuminati.
You're part of the secret, or you're so,
and your
like,
option
deep
is
inside
to
the blue
embrace
room.
It or like go yeah. to the blue room.
Yeah. so they remain, his secrets will remain secrets, I think is what he's saying. We'll ask Mark when he comes on the show.
Yeah, we'll ask him next week.
Can I talk about Fear of the Spear? Because I'm afraid of the spear, Fear of the Spear. And while we're talking about men who have secrets in these video novels.
Yes.
One of them is Richard.
Richard Spear says something pretty troubling this week.
He says a couple of things. So the first thing he does is at the 36-second mark, right at the beginning of the video novel, Dawn asks Marianne how Richard is taking the fact that she is going to be flying the coop and being away for 2 weeks in Sea City.
Yeah.
And then they cut and they show Richard weeping.
Yeah.
And he's holding some kind of a plaque and he just like drops it on the desk and then bursts into tears. And it's yeah. There's no context for what it could be, why he's crying, what he knows, what is it that he knows that's making him so sad. And then right. the only other time we really see Richard, apart from in his turtle form, when he shows right. up at Dawn's mom's house.
Which is either, again, it's like a druid or...
Right. Or a
Ninja Turtle.
It's a mutagen. They haven't explained it, so they're leaving it for us to kind of figure out. At the 3 minute and 34 second mark, Richard is looking at the internet and he says...
Still no murders.
Still no murders. I had to stop. Jamie was in the living room with me.
Yeah.
Looking at her phone, and I had to stop and rewind, and I said, what did he say? And she said, I think he said still no murders.
Still no murders. So he knew something, and he's looking at a plaque. Some kind of a plaque or a picture or something that makes him cry. Because yes. presumably that's because he's worried about some murder that he knows is going to take place or that he's asked for.
Yeah, that he's potentially responsible for.
And then later the murder hasn't. He notices that it hasn't happened in a way that he expected.
Okay.
So we've got Watson's blue room and we've got Richard's...
The men of Stony Brook have a pretty dark
yeah.
energy around them this week.
Mm-hmm. And John Pike won't even show his face.
John Pike is in the episode.
Yeah, and he doesn't even show his face. He like faces the camera for a second and turns away. So there's something going on with the dads of Stony Brook. I can't wait because it's a two-part finale. It's something dark is happening with the dads. We got a blue room. We got... Mr. Spears, Richard's secret.
Some kind of murder. Some kind of dark murder.
Some kind of murder secret.
And like I hate to drag Mr. Pike, John Pike, through the mud, but there's an obvious Charlotte Perkins Gilman reference in this.
The yellow wallpaper.
The yellow room. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We got a blue room. We got a yellow room, right? And the yellow room has
Stacy and Marianne are sort of doomed to the yellow room
yeah.
in Sea City.
Right.
Which I think they were in the radio novel, too.
In the radio novel, they were as well, yes.
Yeah, and that is a choice they've continued to make in the video novel.
Right, the yellow wallpaper, which is a short story about basically a rest cure, which is a way of kind of keeping the ladies down by saying they had the vapor, so you had to keep them in a yellow room. And
yes.
The resonance there is quite clear in this yeah. video novel.
Yeah.
It's a story of oppression.
It's a story of oppression, and this is a video novel about oppression. It's about yeah. men doing dark deeds.
Yeah, it's about men doing dark deeds. Oh, speaking of men doing dark deeds, let me tell you what I discovered about the Pikes this week and what John Pike's car says.
Okay.
I don't know if you noticed this, but they're driving a Dodge Caravan.
They have two minivans.
Yeah.
One of the two minivans has a dog bumper sticker on the back,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was pretty... Fine. I thought
that's
was
fine.
Pretty vanilla.
One of them is a Dodge Caravan, and this is so clever and fun. The license plate is 135T3D.
T3D. Okay.
So I'm sure you've already figured this out, but I'll just spell it out for you. If you take
Terrence Davis III.
No.
From the Washington football team?
No.
You're telling me Terrence Davis III did not play for the Washington football team?
I'm telling you that's not what the license plate is a funny reference to.
Okay, but did Terrence Davis III play for the Washington football team?
No.
Okay.
So you're wrong on both counts. 135T3D, Tanner. The Dodge symbol, as you know, if you turn it upside down, it looks like a W, right? It's like the Ram.
Okay.
If you turn it upside down, it looks like
W. I'm not like a car guy.
Okay. And then 135 is, if you convert those numbers to letters, it's A-C-E.
Okay.
And then T3D is Ted. And so it's with the W, it's wasted.
Okay, so he's what? He's like
zooming. That's what he's saying with his license plate. And the Dodge is upside down because he's so wasted.
Okay, so he's like zooted.
That's pretty cool, and he got away with it, and he got that vanity license plate.
So he's like daring cops to pull him over.
Yeah, it just says wasted. Like,
figure out the fucking puzzle.
I think that's cool. I think that's a cool choice for the Pikes.
That is cool that Mr. Pike is sort of just like a drunk or like a drug addict. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense because like the Pike parents mm-hmm. are totally absent.
Right. They're just non-existent in this. We see Mallory briefly. She does a great job.
Oh, I loved the Mallory they found is iconic.
Yeah. It's an iconic Mallory.
She's what perfect. A good casting of this yeah. this Mallory.
Yeah.
She's very good.
She's very good.
I liked her a lot. I also really liked, well, I like casting. So just notes for yeah. the casting director of Babysitter's Club.
Right.
Mallory you found, great.
Yeah.
The Byron you found, really good. Yeah. Loved Byron.
Mm-hmm.
He was like a little man.
Mm-hmm. He was a little man. Yeah. He was lovely.
Just a quick note.
Mm.
Byron and Adam and Jordan, I don't know if you've read the books, but right. they are the radio novels.
Yeah.
They're triplets.
Yeah, they're triplets. There's three of them.
And they're supposed
the
to be identical triplets, and they are not in this video novel. They all look different, and they're all varying ages and heights.
Right.
And that's just a very like gentle note.
Gentle note.
Take it or leave it. You know, yeah. maybe you're doing your own thing. That's yeah. fine. And I love you for that. That's very bold.
Well, while we're having a word with the wonderful casting director of
yes.
this show, I wonder if I may say, Tanner?
Yeah.
You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have
played that fucking character.
Yeah.
Guys, it could have been us. It could have been us. We could have been in this. It's so easy to put us in this. There's so many times we could be in this. I would like to draw your attention to a moment at the 6 minute and 52 second mark of this video novel. The world slows down.
Yeah.
A handsome 17-year-old lifeguard, pecs blowing in the wind, starts mm-hmm. slowly running towards camera as his hair flips and flops and his beautiful eyes gaze at the viewer.
Yep.
And in the background, there's this guy who's like awkwardly scratching his arm, and he's got this like blue American Apparel t-shirt and these like kind of tight indie rock jeans and an ill-fitting baseball cap.
Yeah.
I could have played that fucking character.
Yeah.
Come on.
And frankly, Scott is phalanxed by this cabal of less attractive fellow lifeguards on the beach, and I could play to any one of those guys.
Yeah. Come on, guys. We can do
this. I would have been great in those roles.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you guys are cowards. You're cowards.
You're cowards, and it's cowardly, and we have to say it. I think it's time for us to say goodbye to ourselves and say hello to our guests. And that was well said, I think.
Yes, Shay, Mamona, golly, thank you for joining us. I guess my first question is, what's it like being on set, and how did you guys do school while you were on set?
when you get nervous, that's always what you ask. Is that what you ask anyone at like a cocktail party or like a first date? How did you do school? We have, I think, and I hope, an interview with Shay and Mamona, the actors who play Stacy and Claudia. It's hard for you. I imagine a lot of people don't know that these parts are played by actors because they're so good that it seems like it's inhabiting the real roles.
Yeah. It's going to be challenging actors. For me interviewing
yeah.
them
yeah.
to separate them from their characters. But yes.
We have on the books time to talk to Shay and Mamona, and hopefully you're going to hear that now. If that interview falls through in the next week,
it's before definitely we have Jack's to release fault.
This episode, it's definitely my fault. But what you'll hear next is 20 minutes of me and Tanner saying what we think Shay and Mamona would have said in the interview. Yeah. So look forward to one of
and
those.
We'll do like sort of semi-offensive, sort of like girl voices.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Here's that interview now.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Good.
We're
welcome.
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Oh, hi, Mo.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us. This is so exciting.
Shay, I understand you have a hard out in 30 minutes. That's very cool.
Do I?
That's what I've been told. Oh, is it you?
I think it was Mamona.
Yeah, I was like,
Where's Mamona? Okay, it's you. Okay, all right. Sorry, Shay, that's not cool. Next time, even if you don't, say I have a hard out.
Okay. Jack, I actually have a hard out in 30.
It makes me sound like I have a lot more to do in my day than just go back to watching Netflix.
Me too. Well, welcome to the show. We just have a few questions for you guys. You would have been the most famous people we've ever spoken to. But we previously spoke to your co-stars, Sochi and Malia. So you were two of the four most famous people we've ever spoken to.
Well, that's still just as exciting.
Yeah. Sorry, there's an ambulance going by or something going by. I live in Brooklyn. It's a nightmare.
Probably lots of stuff going on all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a very Stacy thing to say, Tanner, is bringing up that you're from New York in like the first 5 minutes of a conversation.
Yeah.
Very true. Yeah. It's something that comes up a lot in conversations with Stacy, for sure.
Let's get started. I want to ask you guys a few questions. And since we only have a pretty limited amount of time, I'd like to get, with your permission, into a game that is going to be a diabolical test of your Babysitter's Club knowledge and also a way to help you prepare for things that might happen to your characters.
Yep.
In season two and beyond.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you, the other girl said that everybody asked them this, so I'm going to put a limit on it, which is which babysitter are you? But the limit is you got to just pick one. You can't be like, I'm a little bit Claudia. I've got a little bit of Christy. It's got to be just one. So
wait,
this
that's
is
impossible. Oh my gosh.
Tanner can tell you his while you think if you
okay,
like.
Okay. You tell
just
us.
One, Tanner. Just one.
Just one. I've never had to answer just one before.
No, me either.
It makes it a lot trickier, and I want it to be an interesting answer.
Yeah.
I say Mallory.
Oh, come on, that's cheating.
And here's why.
Why?
Because I know it's your answer, and I wanted to steal it from you.
Yeah.
And Jack, who are you?
Mallory.
He's copying me.
All right, guys, you've had time to think.
Usually I'd say I'm a mix of three of the girls, whose names I will not mention otherwise.
Shay, that's like most of the girls.
Good point. I think today I'm going to have to go with Dawn because, I mean, I am wearing a crystal necklace. I am holding two crystals. So I just automatically have Dawn vibes. And also, I think she's like very free-spirited, but also still grounded. And she's really awesome. And she stands up for other people and herself all the time. And I like to think that I have a lot of that in my personality, especially lately, just like trying to figure that side of me out. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Dawn today.
Cool. That is a strong answer. Strong. And good reasoning.
Thank you.
I have to say, again, I'm usually a mix of multiple of the girls, but today I'll say Claudia. I'm wearing like these like red jeans that I actually got to wear in the show today, and I think I'm definitely channeling my inner Claudia today.
You have a lot of Claudia in you.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I've always been a Claudia. Yeah.
Did you get to take home all the Claudia outfits?
Not all of them, but actually, fun fact, at the end, we all got to, like, go shopping in each other's, like, wardrobe. Like, yeah, it was so fun. We just got to, like, and because I guess, like, all the girls, we all have multiple sizes of each item of clothing. So, like, everything would fit all the other girls as well.
Like, all of us got to take home little bits and pieces from everybody's wardrobe. So, like, I got some Stacey stuff and some Claudia and, like, a little bit of Dawn. So, like, It was so much fun. You basically just got to go shopping in the stuff that you got tailored to your body. If you're shopping for your character. So that was really, really cool.
That's great. That's awesome. I can't wait till we're on and I can kind of swap outfits with Richard Spear.
Cool Stacey glasses for sure.
I'm going to be on playing Boo Boo the cat. So I'll probably just come home with some collars and
Are
cat
sure
toys and stuff.
Are you sure you
Yeah.
Are you sure you're ready for that?
I don't know. I'll take anything at this point. So, we have a diabolical game for you guys. Okay. I don't know if Sochi and Milio warned you. But this is, I was going to say there are no wrong answers, but there are completely wrong answers.
Yeah.
And it's going to test your knowledge, but it's also going to be very helpful in preparing you for what your characters are going to be. Okay. So we have different ones. We have different ones for the Claudia questions and the Stacey questions, but whoever gets a question, I think you can definitely consult with your friend before you give a final answer. So it's a collaborative process.
How familiar are you guys with the books?
Pretty familiar. I mean, I think all of us try to cram in like as many books as possible before shooting. And I know I've been reading even more of the books during this time.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see.
I think, so you'll probably do pretty well then.
Yeah, I definitely read like the ones multiple times for the specific episodes that we were doing. I read those like over and over during shooting, but I also have like, you can see that little shelf of just BSC books. So I'm still reading them. And like right before filming, there's a bunch of websites that give like long lists of like everything about your character. And there's also like the portrait books. So I read up on those a lot just to get to know Stacey a little bit better. So, I mean, hopefully that'll come in handy today.
Yeah. I hear there's like some good podcasts out there too. About the BSC.
I mean, maybe we're talking to them right now.
All right, we'll start with a Claudia question for you, Mamona, and Shay, feel free to consult and weigh in. But we're going to be asking you if this is an outfit that Claudia actually wore in the books,
okay,
or something we made up, or it could be something that someone entirely different wore. And not Claudia at all.
Oh, twist.
I like just read one of the Claudia books and I remember her describing an outfit and like I already forget it, but we'll see. Okay.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'll try to help.
Okay. And I make a pretty good team, I'll say. We get it.
Claudia had on an oversized white shirt with green vegetable print all over it. Cabbages and squashes and turnips and stuff. She was also wearing lavender sneakers, the kind boys usually wear, with a lot of rubber and big laces and the name of the manufacturer in huge letter on the sides. Wait, I'm not done. Claudia had pulled her hair on one side of her head back with a yellow clip that looked like a poodle. Is that an outfit Claudia wore or something I just made up?
That sounds like something she would wear. I don't know. Shay?
I think I'm gonna have to go with something you made up because although it does sound just as crazy as Claudia's outfits, I don't remember ever there being a vegetable shirt that she wore.
I don't remember seeing any like covers with a vegetable.
Okay, so your guys' final answer is it's an outfit I made up.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's an outfit Claudia wore in Babysitter's Club number 17, Marianne's Bad Luck Mystery.
Oh my gosh, wow.
So expect to see it next season.
Okay.
I think.
Expect to wear a size vegetable shirt, Mo.
Yeah, I hope you have one in your wardrobe.
I mean, I think that'd be so cool.
vegetables.
All right, Shay, we'll go to you. So for your questions, we're going to be asking whether this is a boy that Stacy dates at some point, or someone we just made up, or someone from the wide world who's not in the Babysitter's Club.
Yeah.
So when a family of musicians moves to Stony Brook, Stacy mistakenly believes she's been hired to look after three young boys, but is surprised to meet Taylor Hansen, the middle brother of a popular pop music trio. Just when Stacy and Taylor's relationship starts to flourish, the Hansen boys leave Stony Brook to go back out on tour.
Okay. I'm going to have to go if you made this one up, because I feel like that's something very eventful that would have been in Stacy's portrait book. Or not remembering it. But I think you made that up.
Okay. Final answer?
Yeah.
Yes, Tanner made it up. Well, he didn't make it up. It is actually a description of the middle Hansen brother, a music group called Hansen.
There were these three brothers in the 90s. They were a music group. They sang a song called Mbop. You've heard it.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Real person.
It sounds pretty convincing. I feel like something like that would happen to Stacy for sure.
Do you guys both want to say for the record that you've never heard of the music group Hanson?
Yeah.
That's fine. It's fine. I was like, even my little sister's heard of Hanson. But now I realize now that my little sister is almost 30. So...
All right, why don't I ask a Claudia question now, Tanner, okay. and then we can go back and forth that way.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
I love putting together outrageous outfits, but I wasn't in the mood to spend a ton of time getting dressed today. Instead, I put on a white blouse and bicycle shorts, but wrapped myself in a sheet of lime green silk with white flowers embroidered all over it. To complete the look, I twisted my hair into lots of little buns.
Oh man, guys, this is so hard.
I know.
What was it? It was a white
blouse with bicycle shorts.
And then a lime green. Oh.
A sheet of lime green silk with white flowers embroidered all over it.
Like on top.
Yeah, like a shawl.
I don't think she would wear bicycle shorts.
I mean, I don't think she'd wear bike shorts underneath a blouse.
Yeah, I don't think she would. So maybe it's one made up? I mean, I'm trying to think.
Don't doubt yourself.
Yeah, go with your instinct.
I don't think she, I think you guys made it up.
We didn't make it up. It is actually an outfit that Bjork wore to the 1994 MTV Video Music Awards. And she nailed it. She pulled it off.
So you didn't make it up, but it's not Claudia's.
Bjork made it up.
It's not Claudia's. A musician named Bjork made it up. She was like Lady Gaga before Lady Gaga was Lady
Gaga. Yeah. I mean, it does sound pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
I feel like Claudia probably would have taken her fashion inspiration from Bjork.
For sure. One time Bjork wore like a full-size swan dress. It was like she was wearing a swan.
Awesome.
It was very weird. And in the 90s, we all loved it. But
the crazier the better.
All right. I'm going to hop back to a Stacy question for you, Shay.
Okay.
And Mamona, feel free to jump in. But
yeah, you might have to help me, Mo.
When Stacy gets paired up with Stony Brook Middle School's biggest nerd as a lab partner, she assumes his unwanted affection will make her miserable. But when he accidentally formulates a potion called Cool Juice, he transforms into a handsome and suave version of himself named Stefan Urkel. And Stacy can't help but be interested.
Okay. Lots of exciting stuff goes on in the BSU. So this very well could have happened.
Yeah. But
I think I'm going to have to go with no, you guys made this up.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we didn't make it up again, but it is something from a popular 90s sitcom called Family Matters, starring a dorky boy named Steve Urkel. And he makes...
Is that familiar to either of you? Have you ever heard the catchphrase, "Did I do that?"
I've heard that in New Girl, because I just started watching New Girl, and that's Jessie's catchphrase when she's trying to be cool.
There's this dorky next-door neighbor, his name's Steve Urkel, and he makes a potion that turns him into a cool guy called Stefan Urkel.
That's when the show was in its like seventh season, and they had run out of ideas. So expect that to happen in Babysitter's Club 6 years from now.
Okay.
All right, what is it? It's Tanner. It's your turn to ask a Claudia question in the complicated snake round format that I've developed.
Yes. Okay, let me pick a very good one. I decided that my theme for the day would be the sea. I put on a blue skirt with brightly colored tropical fish printed all over it. Then I put on a green blouse. I figured that could represent seaweed or something. I pulled my hair into a ponytail over to one side, and I pinned it with a sand dollar barrette I made last summer.
I know that she does wear her hair to one side a lot in the books, like the iconic Claudia side pony. I feel like it would be something she would wear. I mean, you guys are just so good at making these up. I'm like,
We've read so many Babysitter's Club books at this point. Like, we've really captured Anne M. Martin's outfits.
Yeah, you know the order that goes in and all the descriptive words.
I think so. I mean, it'd be a really cool outfit. Totally.
It is an outfit that Claudia wore in Babysitter's Club number 40. Claudia and the Middle School Mystery.
She dresses as the sea.
She dresses as the sea.
Of course she does. It's Claudia. Why wouldn't she?
All right, here's another boy that Stacey may or may not have dated.
Okay.
They call him Brew Doggy, and he's one of the best basketball players in the state. With Brew Doggy on the team, the Stony Brook Chargers are sure to win the big championship. But when Stacy discovers that the corrupt teachers at the school are playing favorites and giving the basketball players easy A's, Brew Doggy quits in protest. Brew Doggy loses his chance to play basketball at a high school level, but he wins the girl of his dreams, Stacy.
Oh my. I mean, okay. My first instinct is no. Stacy, because Brew Doggy sounds a little bit made up. So I think I've got to go. Yeah, Mao, do you agree?
I'd have to agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think, no, this didn't happen to Stacy.
Okay. This is a description of Robert Brew Doggy Brewster, Stacy's longtime boyfriend.
If you had said Robert Brewster,
it was sneaky to use his nickname, but I didn't want to give it away too easily.
But even that's not even a nickname we made up. That's in the books. Anna Martin came up with that.
Okay. See, I know Robert Brewster. If you said Robert Brewster, I would have been like, oh yeah, that's your study boyfriend. Bought the book.
Yeah.
But I did not. His nickname was Brew Doggy.
I sort of forgot. We call him Brew Doggy so much that I sort of forgot his actual name.
Are you guys just really close, like best friends? So you just
yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. I want to find a really good Claudia outfit.
Oh no.
Okay. Here we go. Okay. Claudia was babysitting for Her Highness Victoria Kent today. She was dressed like a full English breakfast, a brown beret that sort of resembled a baked bean, a shirt featuring an illustrated piece of toast, tomato red corduroy pants, plastic shoes with sculpy mushrooms growing out of them, and two fried egg earrings. She said she wanted Victoria to feel more at home.
I don't know. I mean, okay.
That would be so creative. Imagine
that would be crazy.
Giant fried egg, big plastic fried eggs, and like literal shoes with mushrooms.
Like,
it sounds like something Claudia would wear. I
mean, yeah, she has some amazing, insane outfits, but I don't know. I don't. Mushroom shoes and fried egg earrings.
And a bean clip.
Trust your instincts. Your instincts are always so good.
I don't think so.
No. That is something Tanner made up this morning.
Yeah, this is literally something I made up. I was eating breakfast and I was like,
Your hunger fueled your creation.
Yes, totally.
But Victoria Kent is a real character in the Babysitter's Club. Yeah, she's a British princess that they babysit. Oh. Is a very favorite character of ours later on.
Yeah. She's great.
Tanner, it's your turn for a Stacy question.
Okay.
Down at the mysterious Shadow Lake, all is not as it seems. What starts off as a fun vacation takes a dark turn when ghostly sounds are heard coming from the island in the middle of the lake. But Stacy McGill isn't interested in ghosts. She's interested in romance. And at the big dance, she finds it. As she closes her eyes to slow dance with the gorgeous Sam, she knows that everything will be all right.
This happened. I read that book. That's my favorite super special book. So much goes on in that book. I love it. The Sam and Stacy romance is like insane in that book. Like a lot happens with them. And I know that they do slow dance at the Shadow Lake.
There's an iconic picture of it that Hodges swallowed.
I know. Yeah.
We're like talking about that like on set. I remember.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Sam and Stacy have like a pretty on again, off again romance, and we tried to make it a little tricky by picking some of their late interactions, but yeah. You still got it.
Oh, you didn't get me because that's the like one few super specials that I actually have read. So
yeah.
if my memory of that super special serves, I think the plot is that Sam is really annoying literally the whole time.
Yeah, it's like doing the whole thing that boys do where they'll, I call it kindergarten flirting, where they'll be really annoying and really mean to you. And he like pulls on her hair and like throws Cheerios at her and stuff, all to just try to get her attention. But she's like not having any of it. And then they have a big talk and Stacy's like, Sam, I did like you, but not before. Oh. It's annoying. But then it's all fine and they slow dance and they hold hands and stuff. So, I mean, yeah.
So kindergarten flirting works, huh?
I guess. Okay. It doesn't work, but then when you actually sit down and have a mature conversation about it, that works. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's great. All right, what are we on now? Is it? I can't remember whose turn it is. My scheme for who asks questions is too complicated. I think it's me. All right.
It doesn't matter.
We'll know what?
It doesn't matter. Okay. Here we go.
You're asking Shay or Mamona a question?
I'm asking Mamona a question for a Claudia outfit. I'm just trying to pick a good one.
Like Brew Dog, that'll trick her.
Yeah. Claudia's hair was fixed in a million braids, pulled back and held in place with a column of puffy ponytail holders. From her ears dangled small baskets of fruit. She'd made those. I knew she'd found the baskets and fruits from a store that sold dollhouse furniture.
Oh, that's so creative. That's something that I would do. Oh, my goodness. It didn't, like, really give much description of the outfit. I want to say yes, but, like, I also...
Okay. Mo, go with
trust
yes.
Your gut. Trust your gut.
Yeah, not much. Yeah, just go with yes.
Yes. You're right.
I'm really trusting my instincts right now.
That's what Claudia wears. You're doing so well with these. These are like harder. I think these are harder than some of the Stacy ones. It's impressive. Yeah. This is Babysitter's Club number 21, Mallory and the Trouble with Twins.
I think the fruit basket earrings was what really sold us because that's definitely something that Claudia was. Yeah. Was the coolest earrings ever.
From a dollhouse? Like, yes.
I think Anna Martin used to just sit with like... teen fashion magazines and describe outfits out of that in the book. That's like what people were rocking in the 90s. So
I love that. They went to the 90s then, man. Yeah.
All right, I've got a Stacy question for you. Before they started dating, Xander Harris was one of Stacy McGill's best friends and an early associate of the Babysitter's Club. Though he lacked any babysitting abilities himself, he usually helped with all the club's tasks beyond babysitting, like repairs and bookkeeping. Xander provided comic relief for the club with his sarcastic sense of humor.
I'm going to have to go with no. The only boy I remember joining the club is Logan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a character from the hit 90s television program, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, I've heard about that. Yeah.
You guys should watch it if you haven't.
Okay.
My mom just told me that she watched it, so.
Okay.
Oh, I'll add to my watch list now.
Good, thank you. Tanner doesn't like it, so.
I've never really seen it, but I was going to abstain from having an opinion on it, but Jack has pulled me in.
So. Oh yeah, it's unpopular. It's very unpopular on this podcast when Tanner talks about the fact that he doesn't like Buffy.
I've never read Harry Potter and I've never seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and our listeners hate me for this, for both of those things. So wow. I try not to mention it. All right, let's do one more round, but because I'm worried that the Stacy questions are easier, we're gonna switch it up, and Mamona, I'm gonna ask you a Stacy question.
There we go. Okay, that's good. I like it.
I can't help her. Can I help her?
You're allowed to help, yeah.
You can help.
Okay.
And then, Shay, Jack is going to ask you one last Claudia question. and then we'll call it a day. Okay, you ready, Mona? At more than 6 feet tall, RJ Blazemeister Blazer is a multi-sport athlete who loves to goof around with the jocks, watch action movies, and win games for the varsity team. He also likes Stacey McGill, but mostly just because she hangs out with the popular cheerleaders at school. It's a pretty safe bet that the Blazemeister is going to go dating another cheerleader by the end of this book.
Okay, I know the answer to this one, but Mo, I'm going to let you take it first.
Was Stacey a cheerleader? What? Or did she have
to say anything?
Okay. I feel like...
RJ Blazemeister. Blazer.
Blazemeister. I mean, I feel like... I don't know. Shay, give me some hints, please.
Okay. Well, the one hint I'll give you right off the bat is there is a book called Stacey and the Cheerleaders.
Oh, right. Now you say that. I remember that that's a title. Oh, now you tripped me up.
You want me to jump in?
Yeah, please.
Hop in.
You can use your phone, a friend.
This is a real boy.
Oh. Good.
This is a real boy.
Yeah, because she does try out for the cheerleading team, and then she doesn't make it, right?
She doesn't. It's complicated. There's politics involved.
Because the cheerleaders are all mean girls, and she doesn't want to be a mean girl. It's very tricky.
RJ Blazer is a very difficult get. That is an extremely obscure Stacey boyfriend who lasts like three chapters of one book.
Yeah. I remember like the one thing about him was that he wasn't a very good boyfriend. Like, they didn't do much, but she used him for his popularity.
It's very Stacey.
Good for her.
The Stacey boyfriend thing, it's like 2 pages long.
It's like 3 pages.
It's just so long.
She's
that's,
a lot of boys.
That's the only thing that guys who call themselves the Blazemeister are good for, is to be used for their popularity. So it's nothing to be ashamed of.
Oh my god, Stacey did the right thing there.
Okay, one last one, and then we'll let you guys go. This is for you, Shay. It's a Claudia outfit. The night of the performance, Claudia wore a full-length dress covered in hundreds of tiny frogs, a popular character from a children's TV program, with a matching frog headband. When Mr. Kishi asked about the outfit, Claudia said, "I dress this way because my whole life is art and my whole life is performance."
Ah, this is so hard. okay. Gonna have to go with yes, just because I feel like that's a very Claudia thing to say. My whole life is art, and my whole life is performance. Like,
it is a very Claudia thing to say,
but
it's also a very Lady Gaga thing. and Lady Gaga wore a dress covered in Little Kermit the Frogs.
I love that.
To the 2009 MTV Video Music Awards.
I'm pretty sure like I see pictures of that.
I want a frog dress.
It looks cool. Go look it up when you're done here. It's a cool dress.
It's a cool outfit. Okay, we only have, it looks like we have 1 minute left, and so we want to respect your heart out, which is cool to say and to have, I gotta say. So we'll just ask you guys one more question, which is that we are almost finished reading The Babysitter's Club. We are on the Friends Forever series now, and we are going to have to figure something else to read next. So do you have a recommendation for a book series that you love that you think we should do next?
Book series.
It doesn't have to be a series, but it helps because if we only have one episode, or if we have to do an episode that drags out one book for a year, it could get tiresome.
Okay, well, one book, like when I was like in the age when I was reading The Babysitter's Club, I loved all the Roald Dahl books. Oh my goodness. That whole series was just great.
Those are great.
He's amazing.
That's a classic.
I grew up reading all of his books too, and he has amazing stories that are just like so creative, and I feel like they're amazing, like really awesome when you're in elementary school because they can totally just let your imagination like run free. So
yeah,
check those out. Also, like the same time we read the Babysitter's Club books, there was like Magic Treehouse and like Diary of a Wimpy Kid. But
oh yeah, those are great. All right, guys, we're getting the signal that it's time to end. So thank you so much. And thank you so much for the show. We really love it. You guys are great on it.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. This was so much fun.
Yeah,
yeah,
this is
thank
awesome.
You for coming.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
And we're back.
Wow, shame.
And Mona. They're gone. Thank I'll just you cut so you much. Right off and tell you that they're gone. They're definitely gone.
Okay.
And it maybe it was
And again, we haven't even interviewed them, so it's I'm challenged with this sort of like. What was it like to learn? Did you do school on set?
I hope you asked them that. What's it like to do school? what I would like to say to the Baby Nation, thank you so much for bearing with us. I would like to say to you, Tanner, thank you for bearing with me. It means a lot to me.
You're welcome.
I would like to ask everyone to please take a moment to go and subscribe to our Patreon. It is only $5 a month, and it is a wonderful way to support our show and keep us doing it. What is also nice is that for just $5 a month, a very small amount in the scheme of things, you get a whole other show, and it's good, and we sing the descriptions.
It's a whole other show, and we do it every week, and we sing the description. It's patreon.com/BSEC podcast.
Yes.
Please do go sign up.
Check it out.
And you know what?
Yeah.
I don't want to be greedy guts about this.
Okay.
Which is something Karen says.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people
mm-hmm.
have been signing up for the Patreon,
mm-hmm.
which only costs $5 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been pledging $6.90 because they're funny and cool as hell.
And it's nice.
And it's a funny, nice number, and it's a sex number. So do that.
Yeah.
And when you're there signing up.
Because
it's funny, and we like it.
We like it a lot. Another thing we like is when you buy our merch, it's bit.ly/BSCC merch. We got t-shirts, we got totes, we got stickers, and more pins.
Yeah.
Rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. It helps us to move through the rankings. We were recently featured on Apple Podcasts, which is very good for us, and it helps us to maintain that momentum. If you could take a brief moment to give us a nice review and a 5-star rating.
Yes, please. If you haven't done that yet, please do it. It's actually super important.
It's important. The other important thing to do is obviously to sign up for our Facebook group. It's so fun. I cannot overstate this. Everyone is so nice and good. It is one of the rare places on the internet where everybody is nice and good and has a nice time and gets along. Go to the Babysitters Club Facebook page and join the group. The group is where the action happens. All that remains is for me to say this week that we did read and enjoy a fantastic video novel called Babysitters Club, Netflix show number 7, Boy Crazy Stacy. Next week, we're going to be reading a fantastic and wonderful video text entitled Netflix show, and it's season 1 and it's episode 8 and it's Christie's big day.
Yes.
And she's
I'm looking forward to that married. One. It's the big day.
What's the big day?
Christie gets married.
Like we're gonna
when we read this one, when we read the radio novel, we were in Germany, which were our most famous episodes.
Is that true? We were in Germany for Christie's big day?
I think so, because I remember reading it on the train up to visit my aunt in
We recorded Göttingen, two Germany. Episodes of Germany. Is that possible?
I think so.
That's crazy to think about, because I remember the Dawn and the Impossible 3 one. Wow, it's now we're just reminiscing, and it's nice
now
for
we're
us.
Now we're just reminiscing, and it's nice, but that was the radio novels. Now we're talking about the
video novels.
Video novels, and they're different texts, and we can't compare them.
We can't compare them, and we won't, and we shan't. I would love to say, as a final thing, that this week I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
Please do remember to round off the corners in your bedroom, drown all your dolls, call your senator, and demand your right to bear time, and do not forget to let Daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaney's, remember the Trip Man, take your dream horse through that maze. Claudia is wearing a bra now, and the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been invented.
Stacy Miguel, formerly of Manhattan, currently of Stony Brook, Connecticut. I'm working here on the beach too, so if you need any help, just holla at Ma.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.